Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if entertainment wasn't something you watched, but something you lived? In this fascinating episode of This Week in America, we explore the rapidly evolving world of immersive entertainment with futurist, conference planner, and author Michael Mascione, whose book, Expanding the Immersive Landscape and Leisure Facilities, dives deep into how technology is transforming the way we experience fun, storytelling, and social interaction. From virtual and mixed reality to escape rooms, immersive theater, and interactive art installations, the line between physical and digital worlds is disappearing. Michael explains how AI, drones, haptic technology, and projection mapping are reshaping amusement parks, museums, cruise ships, even entirely new immersive districts around the globe. How entertainment is shifting from passive viewing to active participation. If you've ever wondered where entertainment is headed, well, this conversation is for you. And Michael Mascione is our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Nice to be with you.
What a great topic and something we all experience, how rapidly everything is changing. What was it about the changing technology that led you to write Expanding the Immersive Landscape and Leisure Facilities? Why this book? Why now?
Yeah, so basically it was due to my perception of a confluence of a lot of trends that have been underway for a while. And it sort of was a point where a lot of these trends were crystallizing from a creative, technical, marketing, and distribution point of view. And basically I view, the book really focuses on immersive experiences in leisure facilities. So that includes amusement parks, museums, location-based entertainment centers, video arcades, etc. And I cover a whole range of different immersive technologies, some of them lower tech, others higher tech. And I think the whole point of the book is to focus on how this whole field has expanded and grown, and also how the infrastructure for immersive location-based entertainment using new technologies like VR and AR has expanded and accommodated newer and more different forms of immersive entertainment. So it's a kind of a watershed moment, I think, in the history of immersive location-based entertainment. And a lot of the problems that occurred before, whether technical or creative or whatever, are starting to be worked out. So this is not to say that this is an entirely mature market, but it's growing at a more rapid pace, and it's basically solidifying because of, again, the confluence of a lot of these different elements. I've been covering immersive entertainment for a long time,
yes,
both in the home and in the out-of-home area, so it's something I've been tracking for a while. As you mentioned, I'm a futurist. I track a lot of different trends, including trends in the leisure area, so I just thought it was an important and interesting point to try to examine the state of the market and where it's going.
We can tell how it's changing by the terms you're using, and we're thinking, okay, now what does that exactly mean? We're going to go through all the different topics as we talk with Michael on the program today. His book is available, of course, at Amazon, other books he's written, and we will talk about those as well. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can click on, go directly to Michael's page on Amazon and get information, order the book, and the book's there as well. You discuss in the book the increasingly fusion that we have now of physical, virtual, immersive experiences in leisure facilities. Talk a little bit about that, and can you give us some examples?
Yeah, so that's a kind of a trend that has been underway for a while, but it's accelerated. And when I mean physical, I mean without the use of visual technology, is just kind of straight, you know, I mean, for example, an escape game where you're solving puzzles without any new technology, that would be a form of sort of lower tech form or physical form of immersive entertainment in the out-of-home market. And then virtual would include all kinds of different technologies, whether it's 3D projection mapping that uses audiovisual technologies, VR, AR, et cetera. So those are converging more now, and partly because of the arrival of new forms of new software forms and new technologies that underlie the combination of these different technologies. And because I think there's a realization that people don't just want to look at their mobile phones all the time. They want to interact in a social vein, in sort of a direct physical sense, and there are many more opportunities to do that. So that's a very major trend right now in the immersive location-based entertainment market, the combination of those. And that's designed to increase interest, increase social interaction in this whole market. And, I mean, there are plenty of examples of that happening. You know, one example is, you know, War of the Worlds. There was a basically a new production of it, an immersive production of it done in London, and it combined basically the ability to interact with actors with a lot of new audiovisual techniques, including VR. I mean, 3D visual experiences through VR, AR, yes, and 3D projection technologies. That's just one example. There's just so many of them because there's greater appeal when you add the physical element. And that's also, you know, an element that's been well established because that form of immersiveness has existed for practically all time. And the other aspect of it, I think, is that it increases, it sort of presents a multi-dimensional form of immersive entertainment that doesn't just rely on technology and appeals to different audiences, including audiences that are not as technologically sophisticated.
Well, I'd fall into that category. I'm fascinated by what they're able to do in dragging us along into this new world. It's sort of redefining what going out means, all of the entertainment activities now, that experiences that we will have. Our guest is Michael Mascioni, and that's Mascioni. This book is Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. A key trend that you mentioned.
Can I just go back to that previous question?
Yes.
And, you know, kind of complete my answer by saying that by combining the physical and virtual experiences, you're enhancing the experiences, and you're basically enlarging it and deepening the experiences, and it offers more different options so that you don't have to just rely on technology. And I think that that's a wise move because I think technology has been overused in the immersive entertainment market. So in a way, it's establishing a link between the old immersive entertainment market, which was less technologically oriented, and the newer one. So anyway, I just wanted to add that.
Well, that's interesting. Trying to find that balance is what you're saying there. So it's interesting that we have new technology, we're going to use it, and maybe in some cases overuse it. So trying to find that balance between the two, which leads me to talking about something you mentioned in the book, the rise of hybrid forms of immersive location-based entertainment. Describe them. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, so that is really purely a kind of a function of content genres. So, for example, there's an escape game outfit in Austin that basically combines that basically works in the escape game format. You know, sort of the traditional format, solving puzzles and a mission, et cetera, within a certain period of time. But they combine that with regular actors, with live actors. So it's basically combining escape games with immersive theater. That's just kind of one example. But there's so many others where they're combining different forms, immersive art with immersive theater. That's being increasingly offered in immersive centers. They're just a lot of different examples, different flavors of it. And again, that increases the appeal of these forms. It expands the different options. It appeals to different audiences. And it sort of deepens the experience and makes it more compelling, you know, because you're adding sort of a lot of times live and virtual elements.
Yes.
But even if you're just you're combining different live elements, again, it sort of expands the experience and enhances it just basically offers different options, like when you're talking about escape games. So it's a lot more common now than it used to be, and that trend will continue into the future.
In what ways has the infrastructure expanded to accommodate the immersive location-based entertainment? Has that expanded as well?
It's expanded in many different ways, from a technical point of view, from a creative point of view, and a distribution point of view. Distribution is a huge problem and challenge in immersive entertainment. One of the examples I give is basically a theater company in North Carolina that is trying to establish a stronger network of immersive theaters. You're basically starting a new industry, a new platform to distribute plays to different theaters that are focused more on that genre. So they basically work together with theater producers specializing in this form in the U.S. and abroad in Canada and the U.K., et cetera. So it's like building a whole new industry. That's just in terms of immersive theater. Then there's the issue of, let's say, the VR area. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to strengthen that infrastructure. So, for example, there's one company in Canada that has established basically sort of a multimedia or immersive visual arts center called EXP Rosemont in the suburbs of Chicago. And they basically promote and develop new forms of immersive virtual arts programming. That's a whole area that needs to be kind of developed further and promoted further. So that's kind of another form of distribution. In terms of the technical stuff, there's all sorts of new forms of software that allow for multi-user interaction with immersive experiences. So there are a lot of new elements on that end. And just also the development of new immersive entertainment centers, such as Area 15, or expansion in that case, in that particular case, the expansion of their immersive entertainment centers. It's a widespread kind of multi-layered expansion, and it's badly needed with respect to VR and arts. Immersive AR and VR programming. It's a major trend underway.
You mentioned several times social interaction. It seems like it's become increasingly important in immersive location-based entertainment. What key trends do you see in this area? Where is this going?
Well, some of them are basically, some of them are geared to team-oriented games. They have, like, for example, the Squid Game experience, which was based on the television show. They basically utilized or harnessed a lot of more simple forms of challenges like tug of war and things of that sort. So there are a lot of sort of team exercises, team games, and they have other things like immersive dart games and other things of that sort to increase the level of social participation and the challenges and the fun and that sort of thing. Because one of the big attractions for people to go to leisure facilities is to meet other people, to interact.
Yes.
And again, to do it in a more, sort of normal physical way rather than just a virtual way, just being on screen. So these activities, enable more social interaction inherently. And greater participation, and some would argue greater satisfaction with the whole experience, rather than just screen-based games. So that's a big shift, the big shift from just computer screen-based games to games that incorporate physical elements, and that's part of the whole process of fostering more social interaction, to perform missions, on different levels, whether it's using simpler technology or more advanced technology. So there are a lot more experiences like that. And there's greater popularity. There's a big attraction for this, social interaction, socially interactive experiences. Immersive experiences are attracting more younger people. And that includes even things like escape games, because you're performing a mission and you're collaborating on solving puzzles. So it occurs across different ends of the spectrum. The lower interactive, I would characterize it, or you know, higher interactive experiences. It occurs on different aspects of the spectrum.
It's interesting, as you read the book, Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities, you see the physical aspect of that really has come to the forefront. Physical immersion has become a greater factor in immersive location-based entertainment. What are some examples of that?
Yeah, so there are a number of different types of physical forms of entertainment. I would give you just one kind of quick example of sort of a physical form of interaction or physical form of immersion. Basically, there was an amusement park ride that occurred underground. It's a dark ride, and people carry lights or torches. So that's a physical element. That's not a computer screen. It's not a virtual experience.
Yes.
It's an actual light. That's just one facet of the ride, but that is a purely physical experience. But in terms of other examples, there's a game company. There are a couple of different game companies that specialize in physical games, not just as, you know, parts of the experience, but basically as the focus of the experience. They have a place in Las Vegas called Playground, and they just feature a whole range of forms of physical games. There's, in addition, another company that basically they offer large-scale physical games, you know, like bigger than life. So it's almost like video games, but transformed into a physical capacity, in a physical context and on a larger level. And sometimes they combine, you know, more mental games like puzzles, et cetera. But some of these attractions just focus primarily or exclusively on physical games.
It's interesting, as you read the book and as you listen to Michael talk, you get the impression we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg here. This is something that's going, it's evolving even as we speak, transformations in the field of immersive leisure facilities. What new forms of immersive location-based entertainment do you think will become more significant, we'll hear more about, over the next 3 to 5 years? What's on the immediate horizon?
Yeah, so I would cite two technologies that I think will play a very big role. They started to play a role in immersive location-based entertainment, but they're going to play a much larger role, would be AI and drones. So again, they've been used to some extent in the leisure market currently, but it's going to expand considerably. If you take, like, the use of drones, those have been used for light shows and games in amusement parks like, you know, Walt Disney and you know, other parks for special light shows. Some of them could be holiday-themed, you know, like Halloween or, you know, other types of holidays. And, you know, again, drone games have been used increasingly in those markets. But that's going to expand considerably. And these technologies, by the way, it's not that they're just going to be used independently. They'll be used with each other. There could be drone games that incorporate AI, for example. So there'll be a lot greater use for those. Or they could be used as part of an overall attraction. So they may be one component of an experience with other things, with simulator rides or other kinds of attractions. So, you know, again, it's like the mix will be greater. I think that's the main point that I'm getting at regarding all of these things. What you can see is that it's expanding. This whole market is expanding in terms of content, in terms of technology, and there'll be a greater mixture of these technologies and a greater mixture of the content forms. That goes back to what we talked about before, hybrid programs that combine, you know, like comedy and music or the escape games and immersive theater or immersive art and immersive theater. That will be an overall trend, and that will be a boon for the use of these new technologies like drones and AI.
It's interesting with AI. I get the impression we just have sort of looking at the beginning of the AI era. Is that the way you see it in terms of immersive leisure activities that they're just beginning to find out what they could do with this. It seems like the potential would be almost unlimited.
It is a huge, the potential is huge, and we are at relatively, it's not like the very beginning, but it's close to it.
Yes.
You know, for example, AI is being used in different museums. There was a project called Artcade in Belgium where people were able to use AI tools to co-create art. So you can imagine there are a lot more possibilities for, you know, co-creation of of attractions or parts of attractions using AI in the future. Then there's a museum that's based in LA that is you know, basically like using AI for digital art, you know, exclusively. And that creates, I mean, basically you're personalizing attractions and you're increasing the options by using AI, whether it's in a museum or amusement park, et cetera. So that will expand greatly, that's for sure.
The book is Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. Michael Mascioni is our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon along with his other books, and we'll mention those here in a second as we continue our conversation. Time going by so quickly, I want to ask you about new venues that may be opening up for immersive art. What are some of the new venues that we can look for that are on the verge of opening or in the planning stages?
Well, some of the new forms have already opened. Meow Wolf, which is a developer of immersive art attractions and centers, basically they already were, you know, expanding the use of immersive art when they introduced this immersive art ride called Kaleidoscape. And basically people would take like an immersive ride, but they would pass through, unlike a typical immersive ride, they would pass through areas where there's art, and the art would include found objects. And that was opened in Denver, you know, like, I believe, about 6 years ago. So that was sort of, you know, one example. But then the other thing is that they opened some new centers that incorporate, this goes back to the example, what you know, one of these hybrid forms that I mentioned before, where they're incorporating both immersive art and basically immersive live theater, so that they presented all of these forms of immersive art, some of which they could purchase. And this was at a center in Dallas originally. But they also allowed for, you know, interaction between the audience or visitors and actors. I mean, that's in a way, it's not just an immersive art center. It's basically an immersive location-based entertainment center. So those are, a couple of examples.
Yes.
And then immersive art has appeared in just general location-based entertainment centers, not specific to art, but as an element in, you know, a general location-based entertainment center.
You've mentioned escape games several times. It's something that became quite popular, seemed to level off for a little bit. You see them all over the place now. A lot of locations have established escape games. How is that expanding in terms of content and venues? Is this sort of a shot in the arm for escape games?
Yeah, well, they've gone through a lot of, the market has fluctuated a lot.
Yes.
But I think that it's expanded. It has expanded in terms of content, in terms of the genres that are covered in that area. But it's also expanded in terms of incorporating a virtual element. In other words, escape games that you can play virtually at home, online, et cetera, or that you can play both virtually and in a physical center. But the other thing is that they've appeared in other types of venues. For example, escape games are used as pre-show activities for amusement park rides, and it you know, offers another experience for people to engage in while they're waiting in line to participate in rides, and maybe enhance those rides or promote them. That's another, you know, possibility. They've also appeared in places like museums. And going back to amusement parks, they've also appeared in off hours. So, for example, an amusement park in Holland created an escape game that was off hours at the end of the day, where people, where players basically play the role of a security guard, you know, guarding this fictional park. And so they do that as a standalone experience at the end of the day, not interfering with the regular activities in the amusement park. So that's, you know, that's occurred because the concept is something that can be transposed to different types of venues, different types of environments, and it's a more established form. It's become more established after all this time. So it has applicability in different areas, and the topics of escape games, you know, some of it has become more serious in nature, but it has expanded in content, technology, and venue.
Let's talk about the market, the audience for this. It seems like they are willing, really want, deeply want to engage more in the activities. They really seem to welcome this and embrace this, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is you start with, obviously, a younger, more technologically sophisticated audience.
Yes.
That is accustomed to using a lot of these new technologies. But again, there are other things like immersive art, let's say, that don't involve interacting with, you know, new technologies like just 3D projection mapping. That's become more popular. Whether it's commercially successful is you know, a question. But obviously, there's been a proliferation of immersive art venues, and those are designed to appeal to people that are not necessarily as technologically inclined, older people, people that are interested in the arts, et cetera. So there's an effort to reach out and expand beyond sort of the young technophile core to other markets. But also combining, you know, basically subsuming immersive experiences, again, in general location-based entertainment centers that are normally used also by a broader crowd, older people, et cetera.
As a futurist, as an author, how excited are you to see these changes taking place and to hear behind the scenes what's going on and what they're working on and all of the projects they're working on? This really, I would seem like would be a really exciting time, a time of great transformation.
It is absolutely. It is a very exciting time. It's a very transformational time. And those are the exact reasons why I decided to write this book. I co-wrote a book about 11 years ago called The Out-of-Home Immersive Entertainment Frontier with a co-author whose practically entire background is in this area. And the leap from that particular period, like around 2015, to the present is tremendous, the changes that have occurred.
Admit, yes.
It doesn't mean that the challenges are still significant, but there's more of a structure to it. There's more of an understanding of it. I think the other thing that should be pointed out, there's been a tremendous amount of promotion and publicity to the general public about certain forms of immersive location-based entertainment, including immersive art. You've probably seen more articles about that.
Yes.
So that has helped. The awareness level is greater. But again, the structure of the entire market is more solid, not completely, but more solid and is allowing for the delivery of more different forms. That's the other thing. People are more interested in this area if there's more diversity of programming, of content, of different levels of immersiveness and interactivity. And so I think the market right now is really heading in that direction and will become even much broader and more expansive in the near future.
Well, it's interesting as you're talking about that, some of these are like, I'm not 35 anymore. I'm not sure I would like that, but there's something for everybody in all age brackets that's evolving in this world of immersive leisure. This book is Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. Michael Mascioni is our guest and the author. That's Mascioni. If you're Googling, no reason to Google because you go to thisweekinamerica.us. We'll take you directly to his page on Amazon. You'll get information on this book. The other books he's written, New Startup and Innovation Models in Government and Politics, Reinventing Government Through Political Entrepreneurship and Exponential Innovation, and ABBA, The Making of an Unstoppable Musical Phenomenon. And I want to talk about just a few seconds here at the end of the book, ABBA, which is receiving rave reviews. Talk about that group and their success in using multimedia interactive projects. This is something they've been using and really established themselves as international superstars, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible story. It's an incredible story of a band that didn't really have that long a recording and performing career. But they reinvented themselves so many times, including in this latest multimedia show, ABBA Voyage, which is running in London and is actually scheduled to, is set to appear on Broadway in New York in 2028, believe it or not. They basically experimented not only with different technologies like mini synthesizers in their musical career, but they've experimented with these audiovisual technologies in the latter part of their career, and that's just kind of one example. In addition, believe it or not, Björn Ulvaeus, the guitarist in ABBA, has also used AI tools to test out different song ideas for a musical that he's writing individually, not as part of ABBA. The ABBA Voyage show, the band doesn't appear as themselves. They appear as avatars, and they perform some of their songs while another band at a different location in London right now, you know, perform some of their greatest hits. So it's a real experiment, and they have taken the risk. They've embraced the challenge, and so I think that's one of the things that fascinated me and kind of drove me to write this book on ABBA. You know, it's a different type of book. It's not just the standard biography of ABBA.
Well, it's not. It's from a totally different perspective. I love your perspective as a futurist. Would love to continue our conversation. So much more to talk about. A fascinating book. The topic of today's program, Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. Michael Mascagni is our guest on the program. Again, the book is available wherever books are sold. Michael, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. I love the enthusiasm you have for what we're all about to enjoy in the future, as this really is an emerging area. Thank you for being with us and sharing it on the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. The book, once again, Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. Michael Mascagni is the author and our guest. You're listening to This Week in America. You can listen to us on 28 podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and more, available on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and beyond. And don't forget, while you're there, to like, comment, and subscribe for more inspiring conversations on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.